grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Who will love God more? That's a real question we think about from our text today. Who will love God more? A religious person who's been blessed by God, devoutly religious, and maybe has lots of things going, a nice house, a place where he can invite people over? Or a poor woman, a sinner? Who will love God more? In our text, we hear about three people, really. There's a Pharisee named Simon. He's the one that has the house and the invite for Jesus to come over, perhaps because he heard that Jesus was a prophet, and maybe this would be kind of fun to have a prophet come over to your house. Nice. He's got the means, the blessings. He'll share that with Jesus. It'll be kind of nice to show that he's an important guy and important people come over to his house. Simon, by name, the Pharisee. Then there's the woman in the text with the alabaster flask. She has no name in the text, but she has a title, for she was a sinner. Finally, there's Jesus, mainly his feet, that we hear about today. And he's neither Simon nor a woman with a flask. He is the only true saintly one in the whole story. And he is the one that she worships and adores, does she not? What does she do? As we heard in the children's message and in the gospel reading, she comes and she cleans Jesus' feet with her tears. She wipes them, she uses her hair to clean his feet, and then she has this alabaster flask with some ointment in it. It smells wonderful. Man, that room would have just smelled so wonderful to have that perfume all over, and it's on Jesus' feet. She's cleaning his feet. She wasn't invited to this man's house, but she comes right in, finds Jesus, cleans his feet. A nice act, generous, kind thing to do. But Simon looks upon this situation and says this to himself: if this man knew, if he were a prophet, he would know the kind of woman this is, for she was a sinner. She had a reputation in the community. Probably either an adulterer or a prostitute. Jesus seems to be a prophet after all, because Simon said this to himself. He didn't say it out loud, and yet he answers Simon, doesn't he? Kind of shows his prophetic ability, if you will, because he says to Simon, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he says, "Say it, teacher." He said, "There was a man, he was a moneylender, he had two debtors. One who owed him 500 denarii, and one who owed him 50. Now, a denarii is about a day's wage, about one day's wage. So 500 denarii, 500 days, that's a lot of money. 50 days' wage is a lot of money too. And he says, when they could not pay, he, the moneylender, canceled the debt. Pretty generous. Canceling 500 denarii, canceling 50 denarii. It's a big amount to cancel, isn't it? Then Jesus asked Simon, he says, who do you suppose loves him more? And Simon thinks about it and says, kind of begrudgingly, I suppose the one who owed the larger debt, owed the larger debt. And Jesus says, you've judged rightly. And then he turns to the woman. And then he starts talking about all that the woman has done for Jesus, and yet what has Simon done? So it kind of appears as though the one who owes the 500 is the woman. The one who owes the 50 might be whom? Simon, right? Good. So the one who owes 50, Simon, he's maybe in his own mind anyway, hasn't done all that much wrong, has he? We know from the Bible we all do things wrong, and Simon too. But maybe he hasn't done as much. He didn't have this reputation of being a sinner like this woman does. But the question again, who will love him more? The one who cancels debts. And who is it, the one that cancels debts? Jesus is the one who cancels debts, doesn't he? He cancels debts. He forgives sins. Not the money that the woman owed, not the money that the man owed. but the debts against God, what was owed to God, which was righteousness and obedience, faith, which they all have failed at, maybe 500 times for the woman, maybe 50 times for the Pharisee, although much more than that. Who will love God more, this rich man blessed by God, or this poor woman with this terrible reputation? So, who will love God more? And what's the first commandment? You shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Who will love God more? I think God does care about who and how much people love him. And that's one of the purposes for which he sent his son Jesus into the world. I think Jesus went to this man's dinner to help teach this Pharisee what God truly wants. It's not righteousness by show of who you have over to eat and what kind of meals you can put on, but who is someone who can love God? And how are you going to love God? How are you going to know God is worthy of loving? And he turns to that woman and he says, your faith has made you well. Your sins, which are many, are forgiven. We ask the question too, what does this mean for us? What does it mean for us? I suppose we could go like this and say, well, don't be like the begrudging Pharisee in this world. Be more like the penitent sinner, right? Love Jesus for what he's done. That's a good lesson. But even more than that, I guess we always think about our mission as the church too. What can we do so that sinners in our community, in our world, might know Jesus as the great canceller of debt, the one who forgives sins? What can we do? And in this text, I suppose there are probably a couple ways we could be inspired to help share the love and the knowledge that Jesus forgives sins. But there'll be challenges to that. And in the text, Jesus even encounters some challenges too, because as he's telling that woman, your sins are many or forgiven, the people at the dinner, they all say, who is this that can even forgive sins? Kind of questioned his authority. So I would suggest that's one of our challenges too today, is that many people in our world, they question this Jesus. Who is this who can forgive sins? So what is our goal as the church? What should we do? We have to teach and proclaim who Jesus is and where he gets that authority to forgive sins. And where do we point to where he gets that authority to forgive sins? His cross. We share the message that this is God in the flesh who's come down to earth, and God on the cross who dies in our place as our substitute to show his compassion, his mercy for sinners like you and me. That by his death and by the power of his resurrection, go and research the resurrection, see that it's true, that he does have the authority and the power to forgive sins. Don't ask the question, who is this that can forgive sins? Look to the story. Hear about the evidence in Scripture. Read, study, take it to heart. Realize who he is, one who can and has proven by his own death and resurrection that he does forgive sins. Then there's a couple of other suggestions from the text that might help us teach and proclaim Jesus as the great forgiver. One is they had a banquet. Well, maybe that's something we can do as Christians today, is have a dinner and invite somebody over. But maybe not just invite good holy people like your pastor over. Not so holy after all, anyway. But you might invite somebody else. Who? Somebody who might be known as a notorious sinner, or somebody who doesn't know the love of God. And we're all both of those things, notorious sinners in God's sight. But many don't know his love, don't know his forgiveness. Invite them over to dinner, and at your dinner, show by your prayers and by your conversation who is the one who forgave you and how you love God. Show by your example, like the woman, how much you love Jesus. May that spill out and help others to love the forgiveness that Jesus brings too. And the other suggestion in the text, as you heard at the end, Jesus went throughout the region and the villages proclaiming the kingdom of God, forgiving sins, proclaiming the good news, and those with him, the 12, and the women who supported him through their very own means. And I would suggest that's our second mission suggestion in our text, is support the ministry of Jesus. Through the proclamation of the churches here on earth, the ministry of Jesus, this is where the forgiveness of sins is being given out and proclaimed. And so when you bring people to church, and by supporting a ministry, supporting a place where people can hear and learn about the forgiveness of sins, that word is going out so that notorious sinners can love Jesus, can know his forgiveness and his love is real by the power of his death and resurrection. Well, let's return to our original question one last time before we end today. Who will love God more? A rich person, richly blessed, a devoutly religious man, or somebody who has many sins and learns through the ministry of Jesus that each and every one of those sins are forgiven? One loves God by his own works and his relationship by what he does. The other learns to love God because of his mercy, his compassion on sinners. Who will love God more? Who is it that loves God the most? Know today that each and every one of your sins forgiven because of Jesus. All of them wiped out clean. Now go in freedom. Fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Love him. Because he who is forgiven just a little loves what? A little. But he who has been forgiven much loves much. Praise be to God. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.